Welcome to episode 137 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Cropping is used for artistic reasons to overcome technical issues in capture or restrictions in your gear, or not done at all in some cases for ethical reasons. Today and in the next episode, we're going to take a little time to look at each of these areas and a little more, starting with this week with why we crop from an artistic standpoint and go into some details on the tools available and the reasons for using them. The actual act of cropping is often thought of as making a simple selection and then selecting crop from a menu. I suggest that if this is how you've been cropping, if it works for you, that's fine. But you might want to use the crop tool instead, and that's something that we're going to get into today. I'll explain why. In the second part of this podcast, I'll go into more details on cropping for printing to a certain paper size and the automating of the process of cropping. Although I don't really advise you do this, I know that there are some people that would like to do it in more of a batch fashion, so we'll go into that a little bit more next week as well, and then also get into the ethical side of whether or not we should crop in the first place. To crop or not to crop? That is the question. Before we go on, I'd like to thank Keith Wolfe from Florida in the US and Josephine Hughes from Dublin, Ireland for questions on this topic. Josephine actually wrote to me about I don't know, it was a very long time ago, maybe well over a year ago, and I never got around to doing an episode on it, although I said I'd add it to the list, which I did. Then earlier this week, when I'd started to think about how important cropping is and started to jot down a few notes, Keith's mail arrived asking about exactly the same thing. Both Josephine and Keith are interested in standardizing their cropping and also matching it to popular photo sizes such as 5x7 or 8x10, etc. This is going to be pretty difficult to do as a generic crop, as many photo sizes boil down to different aspect ratios, so you'd really be locking yourself into a decision that you might regret later. It's going to be, a general thing. Well, actually, I'm not going to go into too many details right now. We'll go into that a little bit more later. Basically, though, it's something that you might not want to do as a generic thing across all of your photos that you transfer to your computer. Still, I'll go into this in more detail later, as I say. Josephine, I'm sorry that it's taken such a long time to get back to you on this one. I hope that you're still listening to the podcast. And thanks, Keith, too, for reading my mind while kicking off the preparation for this two-part series. For many, one of the main reasons to crop is going to be for artistic reasons. If you're totally against cropping and think it's unethical for some reason, bear with us for a moment. We'll go into detail in that into that a little bit more next week. Obviously, I'm not against it in any way, but I think it's worth talking about why people might be. Anyway, if you are against it, either bear with us or fast forward or wait for the discussion on that next week and then you maybe want to come back to this later. When I import an image to my computer and start going through my selections, one of the first things that I do is start to rate my images with stars to make, basically I mark anything that I want to delete with a 1. I've been through this in the workflow episodes, but I don't delete something just because I don't particularly like it. I usually delete things that are technically incorrect and, crap. that things can be technically incorrect and still be a nice abstract image sometimes. So it's not just the technically bad ones, but they've got to be sort of really unappealing to me as well. But then anything else that I just, I'm going to ignore but keep, I just leave without a star. And anything that I want to take further in my post-processing, I'll give three stars. And things that really stick out to me while doing that, I'll sometimes give them four stars to make them float to the top. But generally, my first run, I'll give one to delete or three to get rid of, to go further in my post-processing. Now, on the whole, I don't do a lot of other processing at this point. Obviously, if I'm not going to take the image further in my post-processing, then I don't want to waste any time messing around with it here. But on thinking about this, I do one thing, and this is sometimes to make me, help me make my mind up as to whether or not the image is going to be artistically successful or not, and that's cropping. And I probably actually crop less than 5% of my images, depending on the subject. Sometimes it's maybe more, but I really just started to wonder about this, and I realized that it is important to me, even in that first run, to see what the image will look like if it was cropped sometimes. So this is another reason really why I wanted to talk to this today, because I'm starting to think that it's a lot more important than maybe I'd thought before, and maybe more than some of you think as well. When I'm doing that first pass, I'll start to, say if it maybe might look better as a panorama or a square or stuff like that, then I'll definitely start to mess around with it. To help me explain what I'm talking about, let's look at one of my real-world examples. I haven't used that phrase for a while, which is number 1654. As we can see, this image is very dark. For all intent and purposes, the top and bottom of this image are totally black. When I looked at this in Lightroom, without any cropping, there was just so much black that it was overwhelming. This wasn't the main reason for the crop, though. There are a few other reasons. The first one is that the black areas on the top and bottom of this image added nothing to the shot. As a subtractive art, where the very act of selecting our lens's primary objective is to control how much of the world we leave out, it seems natural to me that the format of the camera is not always going to be, it's not always going to match the scene that we're capturing. This is, at times like this, it's when I decide basically to get rid of a little bit more than, my camera's sensor size or a piece of 35mm film is going to give us. The other reason is to enhance the composition of the image. I guess it probably boils down to the same thing. As you can see in image number 1654, there are five swans flying across the scene with a group of cormorants looking up at them. The swans make a long line, and the group is broken into four swans and a straggler. By removing the top and the bottom of the image, we make it obviously longer, almost panoramic, and this enhances the feel of the line of the swans. Also, it makes everything look longer. The line of swans is long, make the image long, and it matches it better. In this case, I think it also makes us feel that the straggler is lagging behind even more than we would feel that he was if the shot was uncropped and, the 4:6 or 2:3 ratio. If it was that way, he'd occupy just a small part of that, of that right-hand side of the image, instead of, occupying a lot more of a thinner slice. So I think that, it definitely, if it wasn't cropped, it wouldn't make him look as though he was lagging behind as much as he is. So how did I decide how much to crop? Here we can see that the swans have cast a reflection on the surface of the pond over which they're flying. We need some space after those reflections, in the water, or the shot will just feel compacted and too tight. The subject needs some room to breathe. Note too that to maintain the balance of the image, the line of swans are, they're slightly above center and the cormorants are slightly below center. And so, this is no accident. I purposely made them about the same distance from the central line, the very, like a horizon line across the center, And by the time I'd left room for the reflections in the bottom, you know, basically the top to me had to match that. I wanted to give roughly the same amount above the central line, so you know it all sort of balanced each other out. So in this example, my reason for cropping was, when it comes down to it, almost totally artistic. There was nothing wrong with the areas that I cropped out. I just didn't need them and felt that the image would be stronger without them. Let's look at another image now where there were both artistic and technical reasons for the crop. The next example image is number 1646. Here we can see the pensive stare of a secretary bird shot in a zoo note. I haven't been sneaking off to Africa to shoot these birds without telling you. There was a problem with the image though. As I shot the bird in landscape mode, it stood up a little bit higher than it had been so far, you know, to that point. And as I moved my camera up to continue shooting, a nasty splodge of bright green had crept into the frame on the left, and it was incredibly distracting. Of course, I'd moved and recomposed the shot pretty much after that. I think I walked a little bit to the left and, you know, shot from a different angle. But I liked the stare of the bird in this particular shot so much that I didn't get another one with quite the same stare. I basically was left with three options to keep this image that, as one of the selections of my best shots from this particular batch. The first one was to ignore the splodge of green, but I just couldn't do that. The second option was to clone out the splodge. Well, I guess I could have done that, but A, it takes time to crop, and I just really don't particularly like messing around with things like that. From a time perspective, more these days than an ethical one, especially for splodges and things that don't really add or don't really have a big presence. And B, it feels to me, basically because of that, the worst of two evils. The third option, of course, was to crop. So again, while deciding if this shot stayed in my final cut or not, I hit the R button on my keyboard to jump into the rotate and crop tool in Lightroom. A few moments later, I'm thinking that getting rid of the sides of the image, where it was actually, again, if anything, enhancing the image, allowing us to concentrate more on the secretary bird. So here, I guess the result was the same, to enhance the subject some. But the reason for my initially thinking about cropping was different. I was overcoming a technical shortcoming on my part when I was actually capturing the image. Let's take a look at the third shot, which is image number 1625. This is an example of where the initial need to crop didn't even really occur to me. The image originally had two dark patches in the top right and left corners. When I selected this, I didn't really mind them at all, and I actually remember framing the shot like that and thinking that it would add something to the composition, maybe help to close the corners like a vignette. After I uploaded it, though, our good friend Landon Michelson pointed out that the corners were a little bit distracting, pulling his attention away from the abstract beauty of the shot. After further consideration, I decided to crop after all and re-uploaded the image. I left the other image on my server, though, and I linked to it in the fifth comment from the top in the conversation that Landon and I had about the image in my gallery. If you are interested in taking a look how the original was with the dark corners, jump to the image in the gallery. If you jump to this, to the gallery itself, from iTunes or from the thumbnails under the podcast page, or just inputting 1625 into the field at the bottom of the podcast menu at my website, and then hit enter, you'll end up there on the page with the newly uploaded version. But as I say, if you go down to the fifth comment from the top, there's a link there to the old version as well. So this example, though, goes to show that our own judgment is not always the best, and you know, it can definitely help to put things in perspective when others provide feedback. And I think this goes for all types of photography. It's not just cropping, of course. Thanks again, Landon, though, for your help on this one. As usual, it was pretty invaluable. I really like the crop version as well, and as we can see from the other comments that followed, most others seem to as well. Anyway, those are artistic reasons to crop, and although related, cropping initially to overcome technical issues at the time of capturing the image, even though it can improve the image artistically as well. While looking at another favourite image of mine that I cropped, which is number 827, let's discuss a little about the tools available for cropping. First, let's talk about Photoshop. As I'm sure most of you use, more of you use Photoshop than Lightroom, we'll hit this one first. The most obvious way to crop a photo in Photoshop is to select the rectangular selection tool from the toolbar, and then select part of the image, and then select crop from the image menu. This is fine and achieves the same results, which basically is to cut away a part of the image that you don't want, or of course crop it out. However, in doing this, you have a little sort of, all you have as a guide is a little shimmering line on top of the image to show you which part of the image will remain and which part will go. Also, it's a pain basically to adjust the selection. You can move it around, but once you've let go of it, the only way to increase the size of the selection, or the only realistic way, is to just to make a fresh selection. You can obviously use your original selection as a guide, and you can use the shift button and the alt button, on a Windows machine, to sort of add or subtract from the selection. But that's a pain and really not worth entertaining. If we bear in mind that there are artistic decisions that we need to make when cropping, it's much more helpful to use the crop tool from the toolbar. This is the tool that it looks like two set squares laid across each other, and then there's a diagonal line running across them. I'm sure that most of you have already used or use this tool for cropping anyway, but let's just explore the advantages of using the tool. Firstly, it allows you to move, to expand and contract your selection very easily. There are little nodes on each corner of the selection frame there, and you simply click on that and drag them around, and that changes the size of the selection. You can also grab the selection itself anywhere and move it around, and this makes controlling your selection much easier. The other and perhaps more important aspect of using the crop tool, though, is the fact that it darkens the areas of the photo that will be cropped away. This is very important for seeing what the image will look like once it's cropped. And also, the areas that are going to be cropped away, what are they going to be, thrown away, basically, although they're darker to make it easier to see more clearly what we'll leave, you can still see them through the sort of darkness there. If you find that the darkened area of the image to be cropped away, the part of the image to be cropped away is too bright or too dark, you can change the opacity in the toolbar above the image while the crop tool is selected. You can also uncheck the shield checkbox to have no difference in brightness at all. But this makes the tool much less useful, in my opinion. If necessary, you can even change the color of the area that hides the shield. But I've never experimented with that. I use black at 75% opacity, and I think that's probably the default. I don't remember if I changed this at any time. Another useful thing when using the crop tool is that you can also move your mouse to the outside of the selection, yet still over the image. And this, if you click there and drag, then it turns basically into a rotate tool. So, you know, you'll rotate your image around to, you know, maybe to straighten up horizons, things like that. There's also the little ruler that you can sort of drag across, but I'm not going to go into that today. Whether or not you do that, you know, whether you do any rotation, once you're done, just hit enter or, you know, hit enter to apply your crop, or you can click on the check mark in the toolbar above the image. If you decide not to crop after all, just hit escape on your keyboard or the little circle with the line going through it, the no throughway, the no go sort of sign thing there. That's up there in the toolbar next to the check. And basically, you know, that's all there is to the tool really in Photoshop for just doing a simple crop. But there is more to the tool when it comes to, you know, cropping with a particular aspect ratio in mind, and that's one of the things that we're going to go into next week. To be honest, though, I really don't do a lot of cropping in Photoshop anymore. For me, at the moment, you know, Lightroom is my current preferred choice for a lot of this stuff, including cropping. When you think that you want to crop the image that you're looking at in Lightroom, you just hit the R key on the keyboard. This jumps you to the develop mode and enables the crop overlay. With the mouse, you just need to navigate to, you know, the development module if you want to do it that way. And then, you know, if you're already there, obviously just click on the crop overlay button below the image. If you see no toolbar below the image, by the way, hit the T for toolbar, and that will make it display. Whichever way you jump into the crop mode, though, you'll see that there is a rectangle around the image ready for you to move around and, you know, move the selection around so that you decide which part of the image you're going to crop and which you're going to cut away. There are a few fundamental differences between Photoshop and Lightroom here. The first and the biggest is that Lightroom does not actually crop the image. It writes the changes to either an XML sidecar file or to the database if you don't use the sidecar files. And it then applies that crop to the image each time you view it. It does also update the preview images so that, you know, most of the time you'll see the cropped version. You can even forget that you cropped it once it's become smooth. But if you come back into the crop mode at any time in the future, you'll see the areas of the image that you cropped away because they still exist in the original RAW file or even your JPEGs or PSDs, whatever it is that you used. Lightroom hasn't affected those at all, so that it's still there. Obviously, you can come back then and change it. You can remove it. You can do whatever you want. And you're not going to throw away any part of the image, and that to me is a huge plus, and that's one of the reasons why I do so much of my work in Lightroom at the moment. Someone told me, I think it was Evan from our forums that told me that there is a dust remover in Lightroom as well. I didn't figure that out at first. I also do most of my dust removal in Lightroom as well. I'm digressing a little bit here, but basically, think about it. As the Adobe Camera Raw plugin gets updated in, you know, months and years to come, and gives you more control over the actual raw processing. If you've still got all of the information on all of those bits of dust that you cropped out or you cloned out, or your crops, or all of the other stuff that you do, because it's all still there in your sidecar files or your database, then you can just come back in years to come and reprocess that image with the updated version of the RAW converter, and, you know, you don't have to go through and do all of your dust and spot, your spotting again. You basically just go back in and take another look, just reprocess it. So that's one of the reasons why I'm trying to do as much as I can in Lightroom now. Just because, you know, like I've said a lot of times, I don't enjoy the post-processing side of photography as much as I enjoy, just getting the photographs captured and then processing them in as short a time as I can get away with. And the other big difference, though more cosmetic, is the fact that whereas in Photoshop you move the crop selection around, in Lightroom, when you move things around, the crop selection remains static, square to the screen, and the image moves around and rotates beneath it. I don't know which is best when used for cropping, but having rotated the image in Lightroom, which again, you can do by grabbing the outside of the crop selection tool, the frame. If you start to rotate things around with your mouse, the image that you see remains straight, because the frame there is straight, and the image just rotates underneath that. And it makes it, I think, easier to see the results, if for nothing more than, it allows you to just keep your head straight. You don't have to tilt your head from one side to the other to see it as you move the frame around. Because the frame stays put, and you just basically see your image as it's going to be, and it probably helps actually to stop any optical illusions where the lines of the toolbars and things either side are probably going to throw your judgment off as well. So I'm sure that there are other reasons that make it better than just moving actually rotating the selection rather than the image. I should also mention, I guess, that when you go into crop mode, Lightroom draws two horizontal and two vertical lines across the image on the thirds to help you with composition. Then, when rotating, as soon as you start to rotate, you get a series of smaller lines, a much more finer grid, which appears to help you see the horizontal and vertical lines, to line up to the horizontal and vertical lines of your image. And that, again, helps you with keeping your horizon straight and things like that. If you want to change these grid settings, by the way, you can do that underneath the options available under the View menu. There's a Crop Guide Overlay submenu. Actually, there's a shortcut for this. Is it O for overlay? I forget. I'm in my Mac right now. I'm doing this recording, and Lightroom's on the Windows machine. So I'm not going to check right now. I think it's O, but basically you can use that shortcut to sort of toggle through all of the various overlays. So anyway, let's leave it there for this week, and next week we'll go into cropping to certain aspect ratios to prepare for certain print sizes. Also, although I don't personally suggest that you batch crop, I have been asked about this. Say if you want to prepare a whole bunch of photos for 5x7 printing or 8x10 printing, something like that, you might want to do this in batch. I personally do all of my printing from Lightroom, so I don't even crop for printing because it allows you to do it on the fly. But I've been asked about doing this for in batch for printing, so I'll give you some advice on how to do that. And we'll also get into whether or not it's ethical to even crop in the first place. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. It might not have been anything new for most of you, but it's always fun to sort of compare notes anyway. I'm looking forward to next week too, when we'll get into a little bit more in detail in the cropping for the cropping for certain paper sizes, and the ever daunting discussion about whether or not cropping is even ethical. For now though, let's wrap it up for this week. So you just have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye bye.
PhotocastNetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. PhotocastNetwork.com.